Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hello, my name is Annie Greer.
And my name is Brian Patrick Clark.
And you are listening to All Paws Pet Talk. If you've been with us since the beginning of the show, you will know the last story was this rather hilarious, but if you actually analyze it, not so funny story.
Hilarious and horrible at the same time.
A guy who was caught trying to smuggle 18 monkeys in the pants of his trousers.
Around his waist. Worse yet, so I'm thinking, how big was this man's waist?
Right. So I see we have another language barrier because I realize I said the pants of his trousers. I meant the underpants of his pants or whatever you call them over here.
Annie,
you know which bit we're talking about.
I can't even venture forth on that
but,
one.
It made me think of a funny story. I had this crazy idea once. One crazy idea once that I'd always wanted to open a petting zoo. And we got this opportunity. My poor husband decided to go along with me. Not willingly, I might add, but he did nonetheless. And anyway, one of the exhibits we had, because I really did want to educate people, was a tiny flying squirrel that I had hand-reared. It had been found in the middle of the road. You know, there was no choice but for me to help raise it. And I would take it around the schools and teach the kids about this squirrel.
Right.
And all of a sudden, I'm in our exhibit, and I notice that Simon is missing. That's Simon the flying squirrel. Flying squirrel. And I see this guy acting very weird. Right. And he's trying to leave the building. And it's not that I actually stare at people's crotches, but I noticed there was
when the crotch is moving, I suspected you're going there.
And seriously, I realized straight away that Simon was in this guy's pants. Right.
And probably not of his choosing.
No. And so the first words, and I swear to God, this is true, out of my mouth were, "Do you have my squirrel in your pants?" I did not add, we know the rest of that saying,
well,
right?
But you know, you can get away with this because of that English accent.
And you know, he tried to deny it. And I'm like, I can see something squirming around in there. I think you have my squirrel in your pants. And you know what? Because I was ready to remove said pants, right? I don't care.
Yes,
you know,
absolutely.
That's my baby that you're trying
Be
to
bold.
Kidnap. You're trying to kidnap
yes,
my baby.
Yes.
And so he said, oh. Like, he's surprised, like, oh, wait a minute, I think you might be right. I mean, oh, gosh, you didn't know? So I just thought, you know, when she was telling us that story. All right, that is enough frivolity.
It's a very funny story.
Thank you.
And Simon probably breathed a huge sigh of relief when you got him out from this guy's
I don't even want to think. All right, enough visuals.
Yes.
So I heard on the radio when we came in all the advice about getting flu shots last year.
Yeah.
I actually got swine flu. I brought that back from the United Kingdom, and it was really kind of bad. And so what a lot of people don't realize, so I thought we'd introduce this serious educational segment to the program.
It is part of the program.
A lot of people don't realize there is actually a new virus out there, and by new I mean within the last 4 to 5 years, of canine influenza.
Okay.
And this is not something you can catch from your dog. It's a virus specific to within dogs. So I thought, let's get a veterinarian on the phone who can tell us all about that. And
that's
so
a great idea.
Veterinarian of choice was Dr. Alice Stewart, who is kind enough to work with us at one of our clinics. And she knows a lot about this. So I thought we'd go to the phone lines and find out the scoop on canine influenza. So hello, Dr. Stewart. Welcome to All Paws Pet Talk. This is Annie. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you.
So tell us about canine influenza. First of all, we want to make sure it's not something that people get from their dog. It's not like swine flu. Within dogs.
No, that is correct. It is a viral strain of the flu, and it only affects our canine species. Some of the symptoms that they do have is it produces a cough, and they get kind of a runny nose, but the most of it is a productive cough where they actually cough up stuff. So that is the big thing to watch for.
And now what dogs can get this? If they're exposed to the virus, what percentage of dogs can contact it?
Well, 100% of dogs are susceptible to getting this virus. About 80% will show signs, and so that means that there's a 20% that are left that have this virus but never show signs but are yet able to transmit this to other pets.
And that's what I really wanted to emphasize. I don't think the public understand that 100% of dogs are going to be susceptible to this virus unless they have been vaccinated.
Correct. And the vaccine helps reduce the severity of this clinical signs that we do see and get them protected so that when they do have this cough, we are able to kind of jump on top of it, help them out in that nature.
Now, this is a relatively new virus, so I believe it's been around 5 years. Where did that actually originate from, and who should get their pets vaccinated?
I believe that if your pet is coming from a shelter or going to a doggy daycare or even getting groomed or interacts with even your next-door neighbor dog, that we get them vaccinated, because this, like I said, there's 20% that are going to lay silent as a carrier, and even though their dog is showing no signs, he could very well transmit it to your dog. And so you would get kind of the unwanted signs that we don't want to see.
And I know in our clinics we've insisted on doing that, because I'd rather explain to people why we're doing the vaccine rather than explain to them after their dog can potentially die from the complications of pneumonia from this, why we didn't do the vaccine. And so I think it's really important that we emphasize that. Now, does the vaccine have to be boosted?
It does, and it requires, there's two vaccines on the initial visit, or you get one for the initial time, and then 2 to 4 weeks later, we will see you back for a second booster, kind of like any of the other boosters that we booster through puppyhood. But then from there on out, it's an annual vaccine.
Great. Dr. Stewart, I want to say thank you to you for giving us some of your precious time. I know that you're very busy today, but I really felt this was an important thing, and it kind of ties in with people tend to think of flu season with people being now. But actually, this canine influenza is year-round, correct?
Correct, yes. And it's very important, especially here in Florida, where we don't have the freeze-thaw cycles, but we do protect them year-round for that.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Stewart. We appreciate all the information, and we look forward to you being a regular guest on All Paws Pet Talk.
Thank you very much, Annie.
Thank you, Doctor.
See, Brian, a lot of people just don't realize that it did not if you take your dog in for boarding.
Right.
It can happen if you're meeting in the street. It is one of the most highly contagious viruses that we've seen.
Now, can it happen? I'm just curious. I've never seen a dog who, as it's being walked, doesn't sniff.
Yes,
sniffing
yes,
the ground.
Yep.
I mean, can they
airborne
pick it up
particles.
That simply?
Yes, it can. So I don't like to finish the note on a...
No, it's not
sort
a downer.
A downer, but on an information thing. So again, it's been the quickest hour of my life, Brian. Hopefully the listeners will agree with us. I know
pets.
I say that every week. It's just... You have been listening to All Paws Pet Talk. We are here to illuminate, educate, and entertain. I think we need to come out with another E word in the middle of that. We are going to be with you throughout the nation, many days of the week. And don't forget, you can always listen online as well if you go to allpawspettalk.com. The only thing I have left to say, Brian, is thank you for listening and cheerio.
And thank you.
Now you can walk and exercise your pet no matter what your condition using the bike tow leash. There is nothing like the bike tow leash. It easily attaches to bicycles, electric scooters, and other mobility equipment. It acts like an extra left arm to communicate and to control your pet in the healing position. You can install it in minutes. The bike tow leash is recommended by trainers and used by owners and working dog handlers of all kinds. So now you can get out and have fun and exercise your pet very safely. Go to our website, www.allpawspettalk.com, and go to the sponsor page and hit the bike tow leash banner, or call toll-free 857-245-3364. That number once again, toll-free 857-245-3364.
Oh, to
Of Course Pet Talk. My name is Annie Greer.
And my name is Brian Patrick Clark.
It is my pleasure to be your host.
It is my pleasure to be with you.
Thank you. Well, actually, I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to the listeners.
But, that's why I accepted it graciously.
Anyway. And so, you know, I decided sometimes when I listen back to these shows, yeah. I sound like a real bitch to you.
No, you don't.
Am I allowed to say bitch on the radio?
No, well, I think
it is
just
a dog
did.
Program.
Absolutely,
so, I mean,
it's a dog program.
I'm
no
using
bitch.
It in the purely...
Bitch not, want not.
Right.
Yes.
So
I don't think you do. I actually
okay,
like...
Okay, good. Then I can continue.
No, you're a strong woman. I married a strong woman, and I like strong women.
Okay.
I don't
I haven't
like strong
had any complaints,
men. They intimidate
so I kind of figured
me.
I'd just go with it. Yeah. Listen, I'll tell you someone who is not one of those, like myself, but indeed Karen from Pet of the Day
is
just a sweetie. And she and I managed to text each other at 3:30 in the afternoon, which was the first.
That's unheard of. You guys are usually like wee hours of the day.
No. Well, no, she is. I do not participate in that side of things.
Well,
then I get up
gal.
At 5. And
you're Annie of Sunnybrook Farm.
I wanted to continue. We had had Karen on previously, and we were looking at the role of dogs in war. Hey, I wonder if that's where that expression "the dogs of war" comes. Oh my gosh, I never thought that. It only takes me about 50 years to get something, you know.
Well, you're rolling into that.
There was something interesting, and I'm doing it as a segue because, of course, in the previous segment we looked at that horrific story of the gentleman who got so badly attacked by the pit bulls.
I know. I thought to myself that music was a little too up tempo for that. Huh?
Pit bulls were not always seen as, let's call it, the enemy. So, Karen, can you tell us a little bit about the history of the American Pit Bull Terrier, because that is its official name. In fact, it is just American. And what the part they played in the wars.
Yes, you know, pitties, as some people refer to them, they were most often companion dogs. And they were also, being terriers in the earlier wars, they were often used, they were mascots for the troops so that they kept the commander's company, but they were also very good at sneaking through places, sending messages to people, going across areas where a human couldn't go. And of course, if you give any kind of terrier a job, he's not going to stop until that job is done. And so they're low to the ground, so they don't attract as much attention as a person. Even a person trying to run hunched over, you know, is 2 to 3 times the size of a pitty going low to the ground as he runs. So they were very, very important to the troops, as well as, you know, being a all-around good morale booster to have a dog in your tent.
So I guess what is sort of a conundrum about this is nowadays the pit bull is seen as purely a, trying to think of the correct word, a dog of aggression and protection, perhaps.
Well, we're not doing a lot to dispel that with the Civil War now, huh?
No, but you just said they sent messages and they were mascots, which tells me that they actually were good around a lot of people. You can't have a dog sending a message that actually its first thought is, who can I rip to pieces? Its job wasn't rip to pieces. Its job was get a message
through.
I'd hate
to catch it on the day where it mistakes blue for gray or vice versa. Yeah.
So, I mean, when did things change, I wonder? Now, you said they were used in propaganda and recruiting posters in World War One.
Mm-hmm.
So, is that because they appeared tough? So maybe that's when the persona of... Because my understanding of the breed is that they were originally, as you say, companion animals, but very good on a farm. For instance, like Little House on the Prairie, it looks like their dog, Jack, wasn't it, was actually a pit bull mixed type terrier.
I didn't watch the show, believe it or not.
No. They're reading the books. I'm not talking about...
I'm sorry. I don't read Laura Ingalls Wilder, okay?
All right. But in the book, Jack's job was to look after the babies and to protect and to hunt and to be a good all-round, which kind of dispels what people see them as now.
Yes, I think that in its much more recent history that people have decided to use that pit bulls would be good as fighting dogs. And that's really the source of the issue. People trying to organize dog fights and publicizing that and publicizing them as, you know, a vicious dog, as a tough guy dog. And unfortunately, you know, people give a bad rep to a breed
And it's not the dog's fault. And if you raise a dog in terrible conditions, he's not going to be a good dog and a friendly dog. And
well, you know,
so
the thing on that, though, Karen, I'm sorry, just to be a little bit of the devil's advocate, it's like, you know, it's not the gun's fault or the bullet's fault. It's the fault of the person pulling the trigger. I don't disagree. Unfortunately, it is the delivery of that weapon of war that creates the havoc and result. And when we have things like this horrible, this brutal attack on this 74-year-old man merely raking his yard, and it's yet another episode, and almost before you read the story, you knew you're going to read pit bulls.
No, but okay, I'm going to interrupt here.
Right.
Karen, you just tell us to be quiet anytime you want. There are more people killed every day by each other, randomly.
I don't disagree. I also think we ought to take thugs off of the street.
Yeah, well, we don't just
it
say...
It isn't like I'm saying let's ignore the thugs and go after the pit bulls.
All right, so Karen, on the basis that I can feel myself getting close to having an argument with Brian, and I would never wish to do that, of course.
Oh, no, it could be good fun.
I appreciate you telling us about that. Now tell us about your pet of the day, if you would.
Oh, today's pet of the day is actually a fish with the longest name I've ever seen for a fish. He's a betta fish, and he's had quite an adventure, but he's named Paul 5 / Elvis 2 because he has two owners, and they couldn't decide whether to name him Paul because they have four other friends who are named Paul, but they both like Elvis. So he is a city fish, and he has gone from being a work fish. He lived at one of the roommates' desks at work and now has ridden on a train, has gone apartment hunting with them, and has even gone home to New Jersey for the holidays.
So he's a well-traveled fish.
And he's not a piranha, by the way, tying this all together.
Yeah, exactly. So, Karen, tell people how they can send in their... what do you call that thing where you...
They're pets.
No, not that word. Where you put something in as
nominee.
A suggestion. Thank you. Nominee.
How can people actually nominate
their pet, regardless of what it is, to be included on your wonderful websites?
All they need to do, if they go to petoftheday.com, there's a little button on the top left that says nominate your pet. But really, people just need to send a good photo of the pet and tell us all about him, you know, how old he or she is, what breed, you know, with a betta fish, it's kind of obvious it's a betta fish, where they live and why their pet is special. And you sort of have to say more than, my pet is special because he likes to eat and sleep.
Karen, I want to say thank you very much for joining us today. I'm going to go and look at this well-traveled fish at the next break. You have been listening to All Paul's Pet Talk. You will be continuing to listen to All Paul's Pet Talk when we come back from the break. So don't go away.
Disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Get in on the fun and the rewards of caring for animals as a professional. Train to be a pet groomer or a veterinary assistant at the Florida Institute of Animal Arts. Turn your love for animals into a lifelong career. There are thousands of jobs in the growing professions of pet groomer and veterinary assistant. We help place graduates. Ask about tuition financing. The Florida Institute of Animal Arts, Winter Park. 407-869-PETS. On the web at myfiaa.com.
Cookies. 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 I got to have cookies. What has a wonderful taste for your tongue?
Hello and welcome back. You are listening to All Paws Pet Talk Radio, and I am Brian Patrick Clark. And no, I'm not losing a wheel somewhere along the way. That was me adjusting my chair. Rather noisily, I must admit. Now, you know that normally you would be welcomed back by, of course, the host of the show, the beautiful Annie Greer. Annie had to step away for a moment because I'm going to be driving this segment, if you will. And I have a very interesting, would it be inappropriate to say backseat passenger? I like to think of her as the guest, my guest. And without further ado, I would love to introduce the author of the uproariously funny, and I use that in anything but jest, it is truly uproariously funny and moving, The Chimp Who Loved Me. Please welcome Annie Greer.
Yeah, that was different, wasn't it, Brian? This
yes,
is very
it was.
Hard for me. I'm having to, like, keep it zipped here. Thank you. Thank you so much.
I mean, I'm thrilled that we finally get a chance to talk about your book. You've been remarkably modest and understated about it because, Annie, I am a critic of writing. I am. It's not that I have some impeccable sense of taste, but I have a reasonably facile grasp of language and reasonable sense of humor, despite what you see on air. You write beautifully, and you do an amazing job of imbuing the stories with not just the humor, your English dry humor, but your love for and your passion for animals.
And I should point out, the book is also co-authored by Tim Vanderhey, who is a professional yes. ghostwriter, has written books for a lot of famous people. She says, not being able to think of one of them at the time, but what's the woman that, oh, come on, Joan Rivers and her daughter
yes.
and things like that. And
yes.
he's just covered The Iron Man in Hawaii, and that'll be coming out
very
soon.
Oh, has he really?
Yes.
Well, he's done justice
so
by
so kudos him. To him. And he actually, Brian, was the one that got the whole thing started.
Okay.
And we
Let's
actually met at a Mark Victor Hansen, who wrote the Chicken Soup books,
oh, right.
seminar, and they were short staff. I ended up working there. Tim had written a book. Ghostwritten a book for him and Art Linkletter called The Best Years of Your Life or something along that line. And I actually tried to charge him for the book that he had written. Right? And so then our cat, April, that you've heard about,
right.
that I tried
yes.
to kill the other week.
Yes, yes. And failed.
Our first attempt took place about 5 years ago in
yes,
the dryer.
In the dryer, yeah.
And so I'm just so stressed at this particular event, and I've got neurotic children on the end of the phone, neurotic husbands and everything else. Mm. I'm babbling all these stories, and he right. said, you need to write a book. And I said, yeah, do I look like I have the time? I snarled. And he very
did
kindly
your head spin
said,
when you were,
yes, exactly. Yeah. And he did it. And we just basically went out to California to his house,
wow.
lay in the hammock, had uh-huh. a few bottles of wine, some cheese, and I talked. And that was a great writing process. I really just wanted people to get an idea, Brian, of what life as a veterinarian for my husband, as being married to a veterinarian and running animal hospitals, was really like. It's not the James Herriot or some of the programs you see on TV. It's nothing like that. And, of course, a lot of the stories also took part at our farm. And that's really what I wanted people to realize. Having a farm is not this pastoral experience that you may
no.
think it's going to be.
No.
So that was how the book started.
Well, I know that, sadly, we now speak in requiem to Mr. Piggy. I know that Mr. Piggy was, if not the dearest to your heart of the many animals you've had, certainly among them. Can you tell us a little bit about Mr. Piggy?
Mr. Piggy had...
And share your favorite story.
Well, actually, the favorite story almost is the fact that we'd had a pig in at the clinic, a little baby potbelly pig, and I actually had thought I wanted pigs and realized I didn't after that experience, and said to my husband, who was truly amazed that there was an animal I was not prepared to have, right? So he picked himself off the floor, and I had gone somewhere. I came back, and someone said, there's your pig, and there was this literally a four-ounce piglet. I said, no, we're not having pigs. No, Dr. Right. Greer said, it's yours. So I'm thinking, what is he doing? And so we took in this runt that had been very ill, and he grew to be 150 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
He was an agoraphobic. He could not bear to be in open spaces. He was literally henpecked because he was smaller than the chickens, so he was always scared to death of the chickens. And his best friend was our horse, Casey, who was so old that she dropped food on the floor. And so he had a very symbiotic relationship with her. And he was just a very special pig that I would sit
at night, she must be short of friends, right?
No.
I would scratch him behind the ear. He would lay down. I'd lean up against him with a bottle of wine. But not a whole bottle, okay? A glass.
Exactly. Pigs know their limits.
Right. Absolutely. And tell him all the woes of the day, and he would grunt in the appropriate place. And unfortunately, he died on Christmas Eve after quite a long illness, which was just... I think he had cancer, to be honest.
But you also gave him an amazing life.
I did give him... I would like to think we gave him an amazing life. So, yeah, a lot of funny stories. You know, we have to say thank you to all the animals that have moved through this book, because without them there wouldn't be a book, right? And they're not all feel-good stories.
No.
There's usually humor, because I kept thinking my life was normal. And in retrospect, when you read the book, I realize it's not normal at all.
No, but that's why it makes for such compelling reading.
So... if you do actually want a good laugh, because there is absolutely no deep philosophical message in this book than please laugh a little more at life.
Yes.
Especially when things are extremely tense.
Well, as you know, Annie, both Kathy, my wife, and I read it, and Kathy heard me reading it first, because I was. I know we overuse the LOL thing now in texting and emailing, but I really was laughing out loud.
And that is actually something we've contemplated now putting on the front of the book, that we were guaranteed you'll laugh out loud. We got a very good review on New York Book Journal of Books.
Wonderful.
And several others. I mean, they were outstanding reviews, to be perfectly honest. 5 stars out of 5.
It's exceptionally well written.
For being something where you're going to laugh out loud, that there wasn't enough of that. So you can get the book at Amazon.com. We just got granted that. Believe me, you go through hoops and whistles and whatever you do to get
bells and whistles and hoops.
Yeah, and they messed it up the first time, and oh my gosh. So it is The Chimp Who Loved Me.
Yes.
And that's a little teaser in itself,
because yes, it is.
The first story is about myself taking a shower, looking after a chimp that waits for Kent to leave the house before it decides to make its move, all right? And that's all I'm going to tell you.
You know, it's paying proper respect to the husband.
Yeah.
I think as a husband, I would appreciate a chimp who waited until I was gone.
Here's what you don't understand, Brian. He, of course, had already challenged him the night before. And it's rather interesting when two hairy beasts, or one hairy beast and your husband, I should describe.
I was going to say one hairy beast and the chimp.
Are actually kind of having this fight for you.
Right.
One was a little hairier than I would be prone to liking. And Kent won that battle.
Yeah,
so
I
guess
Kent
the chimp realized, you know, I'm going to have to wait for him to leave the house and seize the moment. And he does seize the moment, and he seizes all my clothes. And so the first story is about that. And for those critics that we had who really didn't understand or were obviously unable to read, maybe and comprehend, this is certainly not a book that advocates the keeping of exotic animals or chimpanzees.
No.
In fact, it's the opposite of that.
Yes, it is.
But in our travels, because we're some of the few that have the ability to deal with the exotics, we still do that for the animal's sake, not to promote the keeping of them. I should make that very, very clear.
Right.
And it is an R-rated book. This is not one that you buy for your kids.
No, no,
all right?
No.
There's some very naughty little words in there that
and,
I can't.
And actually, I found that only having met you and been here at the clinic several times prior to reading the in galley form, I found that actually refreshing. I thought, oh my gosh, she's got not only a wonderful sense of humor, she's got a rather ribald sense of humor.
Well,
which again, when you're English, you can get away with.
But you know what? Those words need to be used at
certain,
you know, when you're being chased down by a 1,200-pound steer and your husband says, just stand fast.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh, golly gee, what shall I do now?
You know, my response to him is not like, oh, well, that sounds like an awfully good idea. Let's do it.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah.
And there have been times, let me tell you, when you herd sheep or you herd cows, this is a challenge to a marriage. I think they should do a reality show where they actually put people on a farm and
it's
make them work it and see if they can actually make it through a week.
Yes.
Because for some reason, unbeknown to me when we got married, my husband saw me as a potential herding dog. I hadn't realized that.
You know what? It, from some people, that'd be a horrible thing to say about a potential mate. But in this case, I think that was the ultimate compliment.
Because we actually go out to look at some cows that are on this 160-acre field. That's huge.
Right.
And it was uphill.
Right.
And
naturally,
the guy who was showing them, we ended up having liver cancer or something. So his that's probably an excuse, to be perfectly honest.
Probably so. He's had that liver cancer for 27 years.
He said the cows are at the top of the field. Just go on, bring them down. And my husband turns to me and says, go on, bring them down. And I just like one Man and His Dog, if you've ever watched that on the TV. And the amazing thing, Brian, was I set off at full speed, running up this hill to bring the cows on down to these men. And I get about halfway up and I'm like, what am I doing?
You are the ultimate hunter-gatherer. Here,
oh, my gosh. Yeah. And then, of course, I'm so mad when I come back. So, but as I said, it's really a book I want people to laugh out loud. It's the sort of book you pick up, you read a story, you put it down again. So that was my interview with you today.
Annie, I'm almost falling over myself in flattery, but it's extraordinarily well written. And I really do hope that the listeners will pick up a copy of The Chimp Who Loved Me by Annie Greer and Tim Vandehay. Thank you so much. We'll be right back with All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
Your itchy dog allergy sad? Did you know that our dogs suffer from the same pollen, dust mite, and mold allergies that we do? Now, veterinarian dermatologist Dr. Christian has formulated Doggy Goo. Doggy Goo is a peanut butter treat for your dog. But Doggy Goo also sublingually builds tolerance to 10 pollens, 2 mites, and 3 molds 100% naturally. Try Doggy Goo. Your dog will Doggy Goo lick it up. Call 855-246-2426. The number again is 855-246-2426 or on the web www.healthygoo.com. Goo spelled G-O-O.
Scratch it.
Do you have a dog?
Yes, ma'am.
What kind of dog?
A dog.
Where he's from?
Down the road.
Does he bark?
Oh,
oh. Ooh. Welcome, 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 and welcome back to All Paws. This is your ongoing radio extravaganza of wonderful and fascinating guests who have something to tell us about our pets. Now, I just want to say at this point that I'm so grateful to our producer, Jack, who does such a good job of tracking down such stellar and eclectic guests from all areas of the animal care world. We've had famous pet psychics to holistic vets and authors and pet photographers, horse whisperers, dog trainers, inventors of great new products. So this is definitely the place to visit. And I want you to keep this show bookmarked and visit us frequently. Okay, now on with the show. My next guest is a renowned author and defender of our smaller furry friends, and her book, How Shelter Pets Are Brokered for Experimentation, is causing quite a stir. Please welcome Allie Phillips. Hello, Allie.
Oh, hello.
And how are you?
I'm well. I'm well. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm very, very pleased to have you on the show. I was doing a little bit of homework on you, and there was something on your website that really intrigued me. You were talking about, in America, it's a tipping point, that animals are now considered sentient creatures instead of the dumb animals that we used to think of them as. This seems to me like this is kind of a central theme about what you do.
It is. It is. A lot of the work that I do is raising awareness to people in all walks of life that animals have feelings, they can feel pain, they can feel love and joy, and how we take care of them, whether they are pets in our home or pets that are out in the wilderness, we need to be conscious of that because we could be inflicting harm on them. And that just does not make for a very kind or compassionate society.
Exactly. And I do you consider yourself a little bit of an activist? I mean, I think you're quite passionate, aren't you, about what you do?
I am. I actually call myself an advocate rather than an activist. And I actually discuss that in my second book because when you hear the phrase animal activist, it conjures up an image that has been viewed very negatively. And so for me, trying to influence, you know, federal and state legislatures and trying to influence local government and, you know, shelters and, you know, I train prosecuting attorneys on these issues. I like to come at it from the phrase that I'm an advocate for the animals, and that doesn't tend to have such a supercharged negative feeling to it.
Right. It sounds like you're kind of almost their attorney pleading their case in court rather than the guy running around letting the pets out from the factory that where they're experimenting on them. You know, in the deep of night, you sneak in and unlock the cages. That would be more of an activist, wouldn't it?
Yes, yes, certainly would be. Yeah, I come at it from the legal perspective because I am trained as an attorney. I was a prosecuting attorney for many years. I currently work at the National District Attorneys Association, and I run the National Center for Prosecution of Animal Abuse. So I come at things from a different perspective, but at the same time, I've been in the trenches. I have volunteered at an animal control shelter that had a high euthanasia rate, as well as engaged in pound seizure, selling animals to research. And so, you know, I've really been in the trenches. I've looked in the eyes of these animals who are so frightened and just want a second chance. And I think that makes me pretty unique in this field because I don't come at it just from the legal perspective, but I come at it from the more humanitarian perspective.
Exactly. And you have several books, but the one that I was looking at, How Shelter Pets Are Brokered for Experimentation, tell us about that. That's pretty scary. It's pretty scary stuff, Ali.
It is, and it revolves around a topic called pound seizure or pound release. Mm. And most people, I would almost guarantee that most people that are listening to this right now have never heard of this, and they will be horrified when they hear of this. But what it involves is shelters who either sell or give away the shelter cats and dogs for experimentation.
Oh my God.
So they either give them directly to a research facility or they give them to what we call a middleman, which is called a Class B dealer. They're licensed by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. And what they do is they broker these animals from shelters to research facilities for profit. And it's a dirty little secret. It is allowed in 33 states, you know, in the United States. And I've been involved in trying to ban this in my home state of Michigan for going on 12 years now. And it just surprises me that so many people in the animal protection industry have not heard of this. But yet it is still going on where, you know, we don't have good numbers, but several thousand of our former family pets are going into the research industry every year.
Oh, my gosh. Do you feel like you're making some progress in this? And is there a way that our listeners can help? Is there something that we can do?
Yes, we are making progress. You know, most of my campaigns have been in Michigan because Michigan, in my opinion, is one of the worst states when it comes to pound seizure. Because of these Class B dealers, there's only nine of them. Actually, there's only eight of them left in the entire country, and three of them are housed in Michigan.
Okay.
So Michigan shelter pets are very much in danger simply because of the proximity of these Class B dealers, half of whom are under federal investigation by the USDA for various animal protection violations. So a lot of my work has been in Michigan, where we've literally gone county by county. And my first campaign was in the county where I lived, in the shelter where I volunteered for many years, and we were successful back in 2003. And it's just gone every year since then to where we believe we only have two shelters left in the entire state, and we're actually getting ready to file legislation in January to try to end this practice.
That's fantastic. Is there somewhere we can sign up with our congressman, or can we join the? Is there a petition? I just feel your passion, and it's kind of like, you know, human trafficking a bit, isn't it? Only obviously not for humans, but for pets, but just as bad in that way.
It is, because these pets are trafficked long distances. We have documentation showing that dogs from mid-Michigan are put on these cargo trailers down to Florida.
Wow.
And so it is, and these are former family pets that are not accustomed to this sort of lifestyle. So yes, there's a couple of different ways. You know, if you live in the state of Michigan, you can go to michiganders4shelterpets.org. And this is a coalition that I helped to co-create, and we have an online petition that you can sign and help support these bills. And then there's also a federal bill that is currently pending with our United States Congress. It's called the Pet Safety and Protection Act. And while it doesn't necessarily eliminate pound seizure, what it does say is any federally funded research facility cannot take an animal from these Class B dealers.
So, well, Ali, I'm so sorry to cut you off. We have to go to break, unfortunately, but our listeners can go to your website, www.aliphillips.com, and please come and tell us more. I would love to invite you on again. We're just going to break. We'll be right back.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
People of the world, let's dance together. Hello, and we're back. We've had a little reboot and a reset and a recharge, and we're back with another excellent segment with my next guest. Now, Karen is a regular. She comes on every week. She's also a talk show host in her own right, and she has a trilogy of websites, www.petoftheday.com, dogoftheday.com, catoftheday.com, and here we are with Karen Watts. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Deborah.
How are you today?
Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're so welcome. So what are we going to talk about today? I thought you were going to tell us about a heroic baggage handler who was fired for defending a sick dog.
Yes, you know, we usually only hear about baggage handlers in the news when they've done something wrong. You know, we hear about this baggage handler doing this or that or the other thing. Well, this woman, her name is Lynn Jones, and she is in the Reno, Nevada area, and she refused to load an emaciated hunting dog on a plane. And she said the dog was in terrible, terrible condition, and she just thought, you know, I can't put this dog on a plane. It'll never survive.
Yeah.
She got fired because her supervisor said, his paperwork is in order. He's in his carrier. Just put it on the plane.
Oh, my gosh.
And so she wouldn't do it, which is absolutely the right thing to do.
Yes, indeed. Good for her. Kudos for standing on her integrity. I think that more and more people need to do that these days, don't they?
They do. And she got airport police involved, and everybody who looked at it said, this dog is so weak, it's just, you know, it's in terrible shape. Mm. And they think the dog was abused before it was shipped there. So the airport police called animal control. They took custody of the dog, and it is being nursed back to health.
Oh, I think that, I love to hear a happy ending. That's great. But what happened to our friend?
Well, she got fired, but I'm sure now that this is in the media, someone will offer her a job. Because after all, she's a baggage handler with 5 years experience.
Yes.
And there are very busy airports in Las Vegas, and I think a lot of airlines would be happy to have someone on their staff who is known for looking out for the welfare of the animals that go through its baggage area.
Indeed. I think they should make her a supervisor. You know, that's what we need, more people that have caring and that, and not just people that can follow orders and follow the rules, but can actually think with situations that come up. I think she's brilliant. Good for her.
Absolutely. And I hope she gets, you know, not only job offers, but better job offers. And now we don't know what's happening with that dog now. This happened on November 15th.
Okay.
But that's because there's a new state law that keeps any details of animal abuse cases secret while the case is going on. So
I suppose there's wisdom to that, isn't there? Because, you know, people get fired up so easily these days, and sometimes they might not know all the facts.
That's right, you know, and the glory of the Internet is people can learn about things, but the bad part is sometimes people get partial knowledge and go off and try to wreak what they think of as justice before they know everything. So
Exactly. It makes sense.
I'm sure now that dog will have a happy rest of its life now that the authorities have been involved.
Indeed. Indeed. So now there was another story you were going to tell us about too, about, and this, I loved this. I just thought this was excellent. A professor brought puppies in to ease the stress of exam times for his students. That is just so cool.
Isn't that brilliant? This is, this happened at George Mason Law School. So this isn't even undergrad. This is, you know, high stress grad school, law schools, and everybody knows how stressful that is. And
no kidding.
Exam time.
Yeah. Well, it can make or break your career, I think, can't it? I mean, once you get to that point, you either sink or swim, and that must be such intense pressure for these youngsters.
Oh, it's incredible pressure. And, of course, you know, the traditional college thing to do is drink heavily or do other harmful things. But they brought in puppies.
Wow.
And they're not only puppies, they're adoptable puppies.
Do you think puppies will replace spring break?
If only. Though I'm sure the Florida Tourism Board would have my head for saying that.
Exactly.
But, I mean, you can't be stressed when you have a lap full of beagle puppy trying to eat your shoe or your textbook if you're still trying to study.
Exactly.
And, you know, all the studies that have shown having a dog is good for you, you know, even a day of puppy. And it's also, because it gets in the media, it proves to people everywhere that these absolutely adorable puppies are available for adoption at their local shelter.
See, I don't think many people know that you can actually get puppies from shelters, can't you?
Right, because a lot of times they won't even put them on the website because they get adopted, because everybody would prefer an eight-week-old puppy over a six-year-old, what they think of as a bad dog because he's 6 years old and he's there. But, of course, older dogs are often less stressful to adopt.
Well, exactly. And like we've talked about before on the show, they're so grateful to have a home and they're just brimming with love. And, you know, that actually adds so much to a household.
But lots of people think, oh, well, I'm not going to go to a shelter because I can't get a puppy. And, of course, there are puppies there, and there are even purebred puppies.
Yes. Yeah, my husband actually tells all of his clients when he's, you know, he does blogging and emailing and all that sort of thing on huge levels. And one of the main things he tells them is just always match your household to the energy of what you're getting. Like if your household can handle a puppy, by all means get a puppy. But if your household can't, you know, there's obviously extra training. They've got to be potty trained. They've got a lot of energy. They're constantly running around. If your household can't withhold that, then get an older dog. And that makes so much sense, doesn't it?
It does make sense. And, you know, today's dog of the day is a six-year-old dog who was only adopted in August, but he's got a ton of energy. He's a cattle dog, red heeler mix.
Oh, amazing dogs.
They're amazing dogs, but if you are a sedentary person who wants to leave the dog in the apartment for 10 hours every day while you go to work and come back and do your other things and then come home, that's not the dog for you.
Exactly. You need to be someone who can let him drag you around on a bicycle or drag you around on your skates so he can get
his case, they had a brother in place for him, a little Yorkshire Terrier. So the two, you know, the energy levels of both dogs can help wear each other out.
Exactly. Well, Karen, thank you so much for coming today. This was really interesting talking to you, and I hope you'll come back next week. I hope you'll come back every week. I always like to end the show on an upbeat note, and that's what you bring. So thank you. And this is Deborah Martin for All Paws Pet Talk. I want all my guests to come back next week and bring all your friends, because we'll have lots of interesting tips and tricks and guests and information and things to do and things to talk about, and it's just going to be so much fun. So come back next week. Deborah Martin, signing off.
Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.